And we welcome back Baratunde Thurston, takeaway tech contributor and host of the new TV show, Popular Science's Future of. Baratunde, good morning.
Good morning, takeaway.
So I mentioned already that eBay is dumping Skype, and on some sense, this is being argued as a strategic decision. eBay doesn't do internet telephony. They bought it for about $2 billion or so. They're unloading it for about the same cliff. First of all, it seems to me eBay was expecting that Skype was going to go through the roof and become much greater in value. It didn't happen. What's going on here? Is the future of internet telephony, there I said it again, questionable right now?
I don't think it's questionable at all. I think if you look back at the history of that deal, it was a somewhat strange confluence of forces. But basically, eBay's idea was that people were going to talk to each other before they bid on things. At the time, they were in a bidding war for Skype with Google. And the things they wanted to happen with Skype didn't turn out. But that doesn't mean that Skype is not a good business or that it doesn't have a pretty bright future for it.
Well, let's talk about the business sense here, Baratunde. I mean, it seems to me that aside from the technological functionality proliferating with different kinds of cell phones and different kinds of Google services that involve telephony and Skype and Vonage and those kinds of things, that the market is breaking up a little bit. You had this allusion to people on eBay wanting to communicate with each other in a sort of a teleconference mode on Skype. That didn't play out. But gamers do this all the time. Families have these sort of relationships where they show the grandkids through a video chat to grandma and grandpa. Right. There is a market for this video conferencing function that's different from traditional telephony, right?
There's that word again.
It is, and I think the idea of traditional telephony is one that we'll laugh at, you know, 10, 15 years down the line when we have this notion of a dedicated device just for talking with a dedicated number just for a voice application. These things will ride more naturally over the internet in a way that a game does or a movie does or a song file does or just some text interaction does. So we have artificial barriers in place because the business model is predicated on an older technology, but it's slowly fading out. So even Skype is pretty successful. It accounts for about 8% of all international voice traffic, for example, even though it hasn't been innovating very much.
So the LG phones and the fancy BlackBerries are really simply inheritors of the old Bell telephone object legacy, and they're going away if what you say is true.
They are, and actually Cliff wrote a great story about the international calling and the high termination rates that people pay. You pay a lot of money. I went to a meeting when I was a telecom consultant. It was like a global summit of every nationalized telecom operator, and it was backroom wheeling and dealing of dudes with cigars. I'm not even kidding, and this happened in this millennium.
So it is a conspiracy. Baratunde Thurston is takeaway tech contributor and host of the new TV show Popular Science's Future of. Cliff Quang, talk about your article. What are the obstacles of making telephony absolutely ubiquitous on every screen that you're looking at?
Well, actually, Baratunde makes a good point about dudes in the back room. Right now, the telephone service that you have on your cell phone is 3G, and that's really a Frankenstein monster that involves voice and data technology. What's preventing that from advancing into something that's purely data technology is that the cell phone companies have no incentive to get rid of this expensive infrastructure that they've spent hundreds of billions of dollars on. So they're really trying to slow roll this before introducing the next thing, which is going to be 4G.
It's funny because we were talking about this morning, Celeste.
Yeah.
The functionality is clear.
Absolutely.
You use Vent, right? You're a Vent
user. Vent. I would like to mention, by the way, John, we've now mentioned telephony five times in the interview.
Good.
But absolutely, you're correct.
Show. You know, take that morning edition.
I'm getting more involved in my interests of my son. I play an online game with him, especially when I'm traveling, and we communicate over Vent, and there's lots of people on there, and we're talking.
But it's not monetizable. It's hard for them to make money because part of the functionality is that it's free. That has to go away before some of these obstacles also begin to go away. Right, Cliff?
Well, and that's one of the obstacles that that Skype has experienced. I mean, one of the interesting things about Skype is that who didn't buy it this time around is Google once again.
Right.
I mean,
they're out.
And Google was apparently nervous about the ramifications that it might pose for their cell phone business. The point being that all of these cell phone companies really want to be able to control what that customer sees and in the interfaces that they have and the suite of services they have.
Do you remember when cell phones got into the online internet business, WAP services. You had to create a whole separate website just for each provider. It was back to the old Prodigy and CompuServe days of the internet.
That was back just about 3 or 4 months ago, wasn't it, Bartender?
A couple of years, but yeah, it was the basic idea that they knew they had a monopoly on this device, which was customized to their network. They owned the spectrum outright for a certain frequency to use, and they owned the software and interface, so you had to deal with them.
From a consumer perspective, who's going to own the business that basically says, I can hit something on my screen right here and make a call to my wife at home, do the same thing on my cell phone, do the same thing on my netbook, do the same thing on any sort of portable phone anywhere, in my car, anything. Who owns that business? Who's going to own it?
In an ideal future, there's no single owner. You're going to have a network with a lot of applications floating on top. It's like asking who owns music business.
Well, but wait a minute. Maybe the analogy is the phone company began as a huge monopoly. Yeah. The functionality grew up underneath one company. Then it divested. The exact opposite is happening in telephony, right, Cliff?
And that's exactly what everybody's fighting about right now. I mean, for example, one of the interesting things you'll see currently is that AT&T and Apple seem to have denied Google Voice the chance to operate on an iPhone. That's really
that
interesting.
That affects me. That is a pain in the butt for me.
But that's a temporary legal, business, and regulatory. It slows the progress, but ultimately the technology will overwhelm those temporary. I mean, they could buy 5 years with that strategy.
I think the point being, though, is that a lot of these guys want to have those services, but they don't want other people providing services, and that's how they're trying to ensure this old business model that they've had for so long.
They want to have their network and monetize it too.
The takeaway, though, and we've got to go, is it sounds like you guys are saying that a company like Google is going to do it first, and then the functionality will follow that, and maybe there'll be some other companies, but it's going to take one of these big guys to jump into the fray.
I think that if you look at the social networks, for example, that you're on, there's no reason why you shouldn't be making a phone call through your Google Mail, through
you
your touch Facebook,
the face
or something
to face
like that.
A call.
And with the encroaching data streams that are going to be coming over your cell phone, that's going to be advancing even faster.
All right. Bartunde, you want to venture a guess? You said something about 5 years. You think it'll be less than that or more?
I think it depends on the lawyers more than the technology, unfortunately.
No.
That's all too
That's
often
depressing.
The case in this business.
Bartunde Thurston, Takeaway tech contributor and host of the new TV show Popular Science's Future Of, and Cliff Quang, thanks so much for joining the Takeaway
Thank
this
you.
Morning here in the studio. Freelance technology and design writer on Wired.com. Thanks so much, Cliff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.